Shalom Aleichem, and welcome aboard what I hope will be a meaningful journey as we embark upon studying our Holy Mishnayos, one Mishnah each day. In today's lesson, we will try to do the first Mishnah that we'll be learning, as well as a very brief introduction to that Mishnah, or as to Mishnayos in general. I'll try to keep each Mishnah to about 3 to 5 minutes. Perhaps it'll be a drop longer today, just so that we can orient ourselves and familiarize ourselves with the concept or the idea of the Mishnayos. So here's a very brief overview, a basic overview of what the Mishnah is. We know that when God gave the Torah to Moshe, he had Moshe write it, he had Moshe record it in the Torah, and there's 613 mitzvahs in the Torah. So there's a mitzvah of tefillin, a mitzvah of tzitzis, and Shabbos. But if you look carefully in the Torah, they're extremely vague. The mitzvah of tefillin is in one verse. It should be a sign on your arm, and totafos between your head, between your eyes. How do we get tefillin from that? Tzitzis, everything is very brief. So when Hashem gave each mitzvah to Moshe at Har Sinai, he also taught him the details, and those were not recorded, and those are known as Torah Sheba'al Peh, or the oral law. Initially, those laws were transmitted from generation to generation, from teacher to student, and from teacher to student. But because of circumstances beyond our control, eventually they had to be recorded, and they were recorded in a work called the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, the leader of the Jewish people, the prince, the president of the Jewish people. He divided these halachos, these laws, into mesechtas, tractates, or separate sections. There are 62 of them in total, and he made them in six orders, in six volumes, if you'd like to call it that. And each Mishnah is one of the massive order, tiny little cog in a huge, massive machine called the Mishnayos, which more or less encompass the many different details of the mitzvahs that we perform. And we know later on the Mishnayos were extrapolated upon, and the Gemara, the Talmud, was basically put together, it was compiled, and that's for the study of Gemara. We begin, with Hashem's help, with Meseches Brachos, Tractate Brachos, the first Mesechta, the first tractate in the Mishnayos. And just one very important thing for us to know is that we'll see often in the Mishnayos that there's what we call machlokas. There's a disagreement between two rabbis. And that is because after many generations of laws being transmitted from generation to generation to generation, there were discrepancies. And we weren't clear always what the halacha is, what the law is. And Rav Yehuda Hanasi, who was so intellectually honest, when he recorded the law, he did not just record the law as he knew it, or the tradition he'd received. He wrote the machlokas, he wrote the disagreements that surround each halacha, each law. And when he did that, he recorded in the Mishnayos every time that there was a lack of clarity. In this first Mishnah, Meseches Brachos, we will see a wonderful example of a situation where there is a lack of clarity, where there is a machlokas. Let's begin the Mishnah, because I would like to keep it brief. The Mishnah is talking about the commandment or the obligation for a person to say Shema in the evening and in the morning. There's a Torah obligation to recite the Shema b'shach b'cha, when one lies to go to sleep, u'kumecha, and when one rises, twice a day. So the Mishnah begins, me'emasai karin Shema ba'arvis. At what time can a person start to say the evening Shema? The Torah teaches us b'shach b'cha, when a person lies down. When is that? When does a person lie down? So the Mishnah says, Misha shehakohanim nichnasin lechal bitrumasan. From the time that the kohanim, the priests, would enter to start eating the truma, ad sofa shmura harishona, until the end of the first watch. Let me explain. We know that there's something called truma. Truma was about 2 out of every 100 bushels that came in. A person would separate 2 out of 100, so 1/50th, and they would give that to the kohen. And a Kohen would eat that truma. It was a gift that he got for the service that he did for the Jewish people. But he couldn't eat it if he was tameh, ritually impure. So if, let's say, he came in contact with a dead bug or a vermin or a reptile, he became tameh. And he couldn't eat it that entire day. He would have to go to the mikvah, to the ritual bath, and wait until Harav Shemesh, until it was nighttime. Only then was he able to eat the truma. When is that? That's called Tisako Chavim, or nighttime, approximately an hour after sunset. So the Mishnah teaches us that the time that a person can begin to say the Shema is approximately Seisako Chavim, around an hour after sunset, until one, at Sofa Shmura Rishona, It lasts until the end of the first watch. The evening was divided into three components, or three parts. Each one of those 12 hours is 4 hours. Each one of the total 12 hours is 4 hours. So a person could read the Shema from about an hour after sunset until 4 hours into the nighttime. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. These are the words of Rabbi Eliezer. V'chachamim omrim, but the rabbis argued, and they said that a person can read it a bit longer, ad chatzos. They can read it until midnight, which is approximately 6 hours into the night. Rabban Gamliel argues, and he gives a person the longest period of time to say the Shema. It seems like it starts at the same time, which is about an hour after sunset, but a person can read it ad shiyale amud hashachar, until the morning pillar rises, which basically more or less means when the light, the initial light, rays of light begin to emanate in the morning. That is approximately an hour before sunrise. So a person could say it all the way from an hour after sunset to an hour before sunrise. And then the Mishnah does something which is odd and it doesn't do very often. It brings a story. One time the sons of Rabban Gamliel came back from a party, and it seems like a wedding, I think it was. Amrulo, they said to him, Lo karinu ha-shema. We were so busy with the wedding, we didn't say Shema. And it was late. Amar lahemim lo alamud ha-shachar. If the morning rays have not yet come up, chayavim matem likros, you still have an obligation to say the Shema. Velozu bilvad. But not only this. Elakom ha-sha amru chacham mad chatzos. Whenever we find that the rabbis teach us that one can only do a mitzvah until midnight, mitzvah sanat she-yalamud ha-shachar. In essence, one can fulfill the mitzvah all the way until the morning rays begin to emanate. For example, hekter chalavim veivarim, burning the leftover limbs and fats from the sacrifices that were brought each day in the temple, ad sheyala amud hashachar. By essential law, by the bare bones law, one can bring it all the way until the morning rays begin to emanate. V'chol anechalin liyom echad. Certain sacrifices, one was able to eat the meat for one day. Mitzvah sanat sheyala amud hashachar. The meat can be eaten until the morning rays begin to emanate. If so, why did the rabbis say that one must finish eating by midnight? That one must burn the fats and the limbs from the sacrifices by midnight? To distance a person from sin. So basically, the rabbis made a safeguard. Really, one can do it the entire night. But the rabbis said, do it only until midnight. Like this, a person doesn't leave it for the last moment and forget to do the Shema, or whatever mitzvah it may possibly be. This was our first Mishnah. I know that it's a little bit longer than the Mishnayos generally would be, but there was a small introduction. This was a long Mishnah. I hope that you felt it was meaningful, and I look forward to sending you the next Mishnah, Mishnah Beis, tomorrow with Hashem's help. I sign out, wishing you a wonderful day.